You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Good afternoon once again, and welcome to Event Talk here on EPN, a show for event and meeting planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com and event management, an attendee engagement software company, and this is Eric Dye. Today we are speaking with both Carson Tang, president and CEO of New York-based Carson Worldwide, and Chenil Vines, an event specialist based in Toronto, Canada, with Chenil Vines Events, to discuss risk associated with events, how one can prepare for and prevent risk, and how to manage it when things go wrong. Carson and Chenil, welcome to Event Talk here on EPN.
Thank you for having us, Eric.
Hey, thank you, Eric.
Now, you're both certainly welcome. So first of all, Carson, can you share with us briefly your background and how it relates to today's show?
My background is actually developing and producing special events, conferences, retreats, fundraisers, product launches, concerts, conventions, expos, Olympiads, and even outdoor travel, which actually demands an intense focus on identifying and reducing risk while increasing results for both clients and participants. I've worked in the legal department of the seventh largest insurance intermediary in the nation, as well as the legal and compliance department of the sixth largest financial investment firm in the world. These added to the wealth of knowledge and understanding in legal, insurance, and risk affairs that I now have. And additionally, I possess a postgraduate in corporate law and legal research and a degree in psychology, which actually helps me build on the events through human behavior.
And Chenil, the same question for you. How does your background also relate to today's show?
I am an event specialist based in Toronto. My educational background includes a degree and postgraduate work in psychology and marketing, and I have certification in events and risk management. I've also worked in corporate event planning for a couple of years, and risk management is extremely important in that sector. I mean, if you wanted to put out, say, a tray of cookies, you need a permit. So I learned risk management before any other event planning essentials. And I do believe it is a sector of event planning that's both underestimated and overlooked. And I'm hoping that this will spark other discussions and more materials will start becoming available to planners.
And also, Chenil, as you start the planning process of your events, how do you evaluate the risk associated with that event? And also, what kind of risk or issues do you look for?
Risk assessment is as much about asking the right questions as it is about getting the right answers. When I'm evaluating the risk associated with an event, I tend to use, and this is a model that's very popular in terms of breaking down anything, and it's called the Gemba-Kaizen mythology. And the way it works is it takes different aspects of anything and you're able to analyze it better. So when it comes to risk management, one, I select an aspect of the event, whether it is the venue, catering, alcohol. I then assess the flow and objective of each category and how it impacts on the greater goal of a successful event. I then analyze the course of each aspect of the event to identify any risk. Then I establish countermeasures. Hopefully not, but if the risk does occur, I implement those measures. It doesn't stop there. I then confirm the effect, make sure it was a positive effect, then standardize and review for any future reference. The risks I look for are completely depending on the type of event. So for example, a festival, crowd control is a huge risk. And safety is a huge priority. So understanding how the crowd will move, where to put the washrooms, how many policemen to have on site so people feel safe but not arise any form of concern. In case of an emergency, how to get people to safety. So my tip is when assessing an event, take a very critical stand. Look at an aspect of an event. There may already be risk plans in effect. Your job is to look for any holes.
Now, Carson, once you have discovered the risk, what are the next steps? How can you protect yourself? How do you prepare? And what kind of policies, both operational and insurance-wise, do you put into place?
Wow, that's a big question. So as risk are uncovered during the development and planning stage of any event, you review internally and externally how to best mitigate exposure. How you reduce risk is to have the most insular business structure, which limits you your personal liability. You secure liability, umbrella, event, and event cancellation insurances. And, of course, this doesn't include E&O and D&O insurance. You have your venues name you as additionally insured on your policies and in the agreement or contract if possible. You determine the extent and role of house security and hire qualified security accordingly. And do you need them armed or they do not need to be armed? Are there metal detectors and security wands needed for the event? What and where is the coat check and locker area? How secure is it? How far removed is it from the audience? Secure all trash pails, mailboxes, et cetera, along the route or path if you're having a race, a parade, or anything of that stature out in the public. The more TV coverage for the event you have, the higher risk of terrorist activity. Make sure that you know all the areas of access and egress, fire alarms, indoor and outdoor, and also it helps to have a floor plan. Make sure you have hospital and police location contact information, informing the local law enforcement of the event. Know the local and federal laws and regulations affecting your practices and event, and file all the necessary paperwork for permits and licenses as needed. And make sure your certifications and permits are available on site, so when the inspector comes to visit you, you have them in hand. You should also have backup plans B and C as event planners, event producers, promoters. We all have backup plans or contingencies, you may call them, especially if evacuation or an issue occurs. Make sure all staff and volunteers are brief on the importance of safety and to stay vigilant for dangerous conditions, packages that may be laying around. You know, the field of risk of, is broad, and depending on the event, as many types of insurance exist as there are backup plans. For example, let me just say that you're dealing with trips and activities that are inherently dangerous, such as waterbound trips like canoe and kayak, rock and ice climbing, or even climbing wall. You do involve activities that initially may not be harmful, but certain procedures need to be followed to prevent or curtail serious or fatal outcomes in the event itself. And there's some that are not as straightforward, such as sweat huts, but if given certain conditions, they may become very dangerous. According to the 2011 U.S. Census in 2008, there were 10.2 million car accidents. That's 28,000 car accidents a day, which does not include slip and falls, cuts, broken bones, hundreds of millions of other accidents, not car-related. So it would be a miracle for anyone to tell you just about the most common risks that are out there today to avoid the shortfalls in a limited amount of time that we have here in the interview. So savvy companies will retain businesses like my own to take care of their event needs and concerns, because the ones that do not produce events as businesses don't have the bandwidth and depth of knowledge to understand all the inherent risk out of control. So there are areas in-house, however, that are more clear and predictable, where you can reduce risk by preparing for worst-case scenarios, and then you work backwards from there in your planning stage. Let me explain. When you purchase insurance, you are betting on the fact something bad will happen. Think about it. If nothing goes wrong, then you paid for something that you never used, just as a safety blanket. In your consideration of purchasing the numerous types of insurance that are available in addition to covering yourself for the most obvious and required limits, you need to conduct a pragmatic and financial assessment whether insurance makes sense. You may determine that the cost of a particular insurance supersedes the actual risk. Therefore, you work around this by putting in a token stopgap measure to reduce the risk instead of securing insurance. Another way of offsetting risk operationally is through your standard operating procedures and policies that all your staff and volunteers should understand and be aware of. Remember, risks are physical and/or they can be non-physical, such as when you're dealing with intellectual property and things that lead up to slander and libel. Risk also incur from behavior such as misbehavior, illegal behavior, gross negligence, and willful misconduct, whether you or your staff or your volunteers have done it. So the later two, willful misconduct and gross negligence, are things that will actually pierce the corporate veil no matter what type of corporate structure you have.
Today we are with both Carson Tang, President and CEO of New York-based Carson Worldwide, and Chanel Vines, an event specialist based in Toronto, Canada, with Chanel Vines Events, here on Event Talk, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Chanel, how do you engage all of your event staff, vendors, and venues in the prevention of risk?
When working with vendors, staff, and venues, you have to avoid creating a decentralized system. So my first aim is to get the buy-in from everyone involved to meet the ultimate goal of a successful event. Your vendors are all valuable resources in the risk management process, as they tend to have expertise in their aspects. So for example, look at their contracts. A contract can be very telling about issues that a vendor or venue or staff, an agency, has faced before. Make sure this contract both protects the vendor and your attendees and yourself. So to look even closer, when you're looking at these three categories, I'm going to break them down. So for example, the vendor. When engaging vendors, you have to first look at the vendor and the type of role they play. So, for example, a florist dropping off a couple of arrangements may have less of an impact on your risk assessment versus, say, a caterer. A caterer is one of the biggest and most involved vendors in an event. They provide the food and sometimes the alcohol, and this is quite an extensive amount of care needs to be taken when you're dealing with these two aspects. Some questions I would ask my caterers are, what health precautions do you take when handling food? Who is inspecting the food supply and how often are they doing this? Do they have food permit? You can request copies of their permit. Ensure they have insurance. Most venues won't allow certain caterers unless they have a certain amount in insurance. Take a tour of the kitchen. See where their food is stored. Look at the dishwashing process. At the event, ensure all ingredients are known and the food service can answer questions about the ingredients, know who to ask. And that leads me to staff. Now, the event staff is important in reducing liability and controlling any risk. So in addition to knowing the ingredients in meal, make sure the staff doesn't cross-contaminate the food. So, for example, only put one staff on seafood. For alcohol, use only trained and certified bartenders and check these certificates yourself. So don't just take anyone's word for it. You can require in writing that bartenders stop serving intoxicated people. Talk to the staff about appropriate reactions to risk. Remind the staff that they shouldn't be subject to any rude speech, or they don't have to deal with any that's drunk or any physical altercation. Give some of your members of your staff or authority to contact police if they are attendees at risk. I definitely could go on for hours. I'm going to take a quick look at the venue risk management. So just to touch the surface, ensure that your clients have the appropriate coverage that is not provided by the venue. So for example, a special occasion permit if the venue is not insured for alcohol. Tour the venue yourself before an event and try to use staff that are familiar with the venue and talk to these staff prior to the event about issues they have had with the venue.
Carson, I understand that you have a legal background. How can you legally protect yourself from risk?
Legally, you can make sure that the type of business you form protects you, and that would be either an LLC, subchapter S, or C Corp. And also where you're incorporated is pretty important as well. As you may have heard, people forming corporations in the Cayman Islands and whatnot. Another way is what is agreed upon in your contract or agreement with the venue. So what is in writing? Other ways is signed waivers from all the participants, and then keeping a detailed record demonstrating your proactive due diligence.
And Chanel, let's say you have fully prepared, you feel 100% confident that you've done everything in your power to prevent risk, but something does happen. What steps do you take to manage the situation?
The first thing is to keep calm. I can't tell you how many times I've seen event planners lose their cool over minor mishaps. People, including your staff, your clients, and the guests, take cues from you, the event planner. So if you're running around like a chicken without a head, you will inspire fear and doubt in everyone around you. If your state of mind is not in a calm and clear, it can be very costly. So just identify the risk, execute the appropriate strategy you have already planned. One of the biggest drawbacks, I must say, is when there is no plan for a particular risk, or if multiple risks happen concurrent, which most time you don't plan for two or three risks to happen at the same time. Get your staff leader or venue manager to help you. So in these situations, ask for help. They always say two, three, four heads are better than one. So when it's a novel situation, get other people to help you come up with a strategy. It is great to have everyone know all your plans in advance so that when you're requesting help, they already know the way you think and can help you to come with a good idea. Keep your eye on the desired goal or outcome. So you want to keep your eye on how you want this problem to end. Never focus on what is going wrong, but keep your eye on how you want it to end and mobilize everyone to the results you're aiming for.
Lots of great information here today. In closing, Carson, can you share with us your top three tips a planner should think about in the preparation of an event as it is related to risk prevention?
My top three tips that you should think about and consider in doing is build your event with safety in mind as one of your top priorities. Too often businesses build it around making money as they are too focused on just the marketing. And by the way, marketing is probably the most important part of your business success. Have fire controls procedures in place for pre, during, and post-event. That includes establishing great relationships with your participants and handling concerns and complaints immediately. The third tip would be make sure you work with professionals who know more than you. You don't always know everything, and if something's going to happen, and it does happen, it's too late to offset the consequences of the risk.
Chanel, same question for you. Your top three tips.
Of course. My top three tips are, one, be prepared to be proactive. So you need to own the situation. That is your event, and you have to own it. Do not wait until the problem has come crashing down on you. Have a plan of action and trust it and your ability to implement it if anything goes wrong. Two is to trust the group. Groups tend to be right. So meet with all your key players and ask them what they believe are the major risks. More than likely, they will get it right and plan for that risk. Also, check social media. See how your guests are talking about this event. If they're online and they're talking that it's going to be a fun and a turned up, quote-unquote, event, then you're probably going to need a plan how to turn down this event. And lastly, create a risk structure. Identify what are high risks, low risk, high probability, and low probability. Focus on those high risk, high probability situations and relax. Trust that you have done the legwork and the event will be well.
Well, it certainly has been good to have the both of you today. Before you both go, first Chanel, then Carson, if you could share with us where we can and our listeners be in best contact with you and also where they can get more information.
So you can visit my website and it's Chanel, C-H-A-N-I-L-E, vines.com. You can also search for me on LinkedIn and Twitter at Chanel Vines and also Instagram at Chanel Vines.
This is Carson Tang. I'm the president and CEO of Carson Worldwide, and they can reach me at info@carsonworldwide.com. My site is www.carsonworldwide.com, and my email again is info@carsonworldwide.com.
Chanel and Carson, thanks for being a part of Event Talk here on EPN.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great day.
You're both certainly welcome, and we've been speaking with Carson Tang, president and CEO of New York-based Carson Worldwide, and Chanel Vines, an event specialist based in Toronto, Canada, with Chanel Vines Events. And on the next episode of Event Talk, we will be talking about how to negotiate with venues, evaluate contracts, and develop win-win partnerships for all stakeholders. Once again, thanks for joining us on this episode of Event Talk, a show for event and meeting planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com. an event management and attendee engagement software company, and this has been Eric Dye. This show is supported by EventInterface.com, event management and attendee engagement software. Forget registration transaction fees. Start managing registrations and attendees today for a low monthly fee. Sign up at EventInterface.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.